Ladies and gentlemen, Cairo Radio is honored and privileged to present to you Cairo Nights with Mr. Talk Radio, Jack Stein.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. After a long and storied weekend, we return to another week of fighting idiocy, one show at a time. There was an article over at Cairo News Radio. It says that Seattle children's pediatrician knows it's challenging to get young kids to mask up. And a question that I have often asked myself ever since the CDC released a massive set of data on kids is why we choose to focus so much on torturing children. It's a legitimate question that I ask myself on a regular basis. Why are we torturing children so much with everything that has to do with COVID-19 when we know that COVID really doesn't affect kids that much? Right. So before I get started on this, let's just start with some hard numbers, because every time we talk about kids and COVID, the first thing that happens is people go, Jack, do you not care about kids dying, Jack? Do you not care about the fact that children are dying from COVID-19? This is always what I get in the text line. You would not believe. I try to make a salient point about data, and all of a sudden everybody comes out of the woodwork. Jack Stein doesn't care about kids dying from COVID-19. Jack, don't you know that... It's so annoying. In my quest to just disseminate truth to the best of my ability, the one thing that I hate more than anything else are these like ad hominem personal attacks where they say, you don't care, you don't care, you don't care. I do care about the kids. This is why I go and I look at the data. Would you rather just have me just like speak extemporaneously about kids and COVID-19, or should we deal in facts? Should we just deal in numbers? So I prefer to deal with numbers. If you want to go live in a fantasy, that's your prerogative. But I prefer to have my head safely affixed in reality. So as of the 19th of this month, tragically, between the ages of 0 and 4, 266 kids have died with COVID-19. Again, as of the 19th of this month, kids between the ages of 5 and 18, 596 have died from COVID-19. Now, that's not the month of January. That's the last 2 years. So if we do the math on that, that's a little over 800 kids. It's a little over 800 kids, maybe a little over 900 kids. Now, that's a tragedy. Each one of those kids is a tragedy. And we'll get to all the other data and all this other stuff. But I think it's important to compare and contrast all the numbers here, right? So between as of the 19th of this month, again, 19 to 44, how many people have died with or from COVID-19? 34,945. 45 to 46 years old, it's over 181,000. As of the 19th of this month, how many people 75 years and older have died from COVID-19 or with COVID-19? 437,000 people have died over the age of 75. Now, what that means is that the median age for a death from COVID-19 is what? It's over 75. If you just take those numbers and you average them out, the median death of someone who dies from COVID-19 or with COVID-19 is over the age of 75. And yet, we have physicians still out there who are championing this idea that we need to torture children by putting masks over their face. It's bizarre. And so when I read this, for as much as I might appreciate Dr. Molly Greaves Groh, and who's a pediatrician, she's at Seattle Children's, she went on Seattle's Morning News with Colleen O'Brien, I appreciate somebody coming on and speaking their opinion. I do it on my show 5 days out of the week. But what I want is not somebody, when I want to talk to somebody about COVID-19, or specifically a physician, I want somebody to acknowledge these kinds of sets of data. I want somebody to acknowledge the fact that, according to the CDC, cloth masks don't do anything. And we know that they don't do anything. I want physicians in general to speak to us, the common man, the layman, as if we are all dealing with the same set of data. What I don't like is when we have this, and pardon the expression, one-size-fits-all policy when it comes to how we should react to COVID-19. I've been talking about this for like the last like 2 years, but now I'm noticing more and more that there is the attention is being drilled into kids. Didn't hear anything about kids really for the last 18 months. But now all of a sudden the vaccines get approved for kids and boom, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I've seen it this entire weekend and it is bizarre. The fixation that media has had with children and talking about regulating children and vaccinating children and all this stuff, kind of forgetting the fact that all of the adults who've been dealing with this, if you've been paying attention, you know exactly what's going on, right? So I'll give you an example. There was a cartoon in the LA Times. It's a really disturbing cartoon. And it said, kids are behind the eight ball when it comes to COVID-19. And it's got a little eight ball that's got a like little COVID-19 tendrils coming out of it. And it's a little kid on a pool table. And it's somebody taking a shot like they're shooting COVID-19 at the kid. And I thought to myself, well, this is like beyond commentary, right? Like, this is really dark stuff. The implication being that there is somebody who is actively trying to harm a child or kill a child with COVID-19 in that comic. And I was thinking to myself, this is the kind of thing that gets people so fired up that when they themselves get a COVID-19 positive test, they go to the hospital. I did some research over this weekend, and I found that there are states out there, states like Utah, states like Nevada, that are they have PSAs now reminding people that if they get a COVID-19 positive test, to not go to the emergency room unless they're having severe symptoms. That people out there have been so charged up about COVID-19 that they think, and I know this sounds ridiculous to people like you and I, but they think if they have a positive test, that they immediately need to go to the hospital. True story. They're running PSAs on radio and on television trying to let people know, hey, you got a positive COVID-19 test. So you don't exactly need to come to the emergency room. What causes that? What causes that in somebody's mind to make them think that if they get a positive test, the first thing that they should do is not, you know, send their friend out to get some Theraflu and some Gatorade. But that, oh my God, we have to go to the hospital. We have to go right now. Pull the minivan around. I've got COVID-19. Can you imagine if I call Shane, I've got COVID-19. Shane, come pick me up. I need to go to the emergency room. I got a positive test. At least I think I do, because these tests are only like 75% accurate. But I've got a positive test. Take me to the emergency room. I'm going to die, please. This is the state that people are in at this point in time. And what causes that? It's articles and things around your kids are going to die. You're going to die. All this other crazy stuff. But thankfully, here on Cairo Nights, our heads are safely affixed in reality. I'll give you another example. In California, there's a new bill that says that all school children must be vaccinated against COVID-19. All of them. It was put in place by Senator Richard Pan, who's a Democrat out of Sacramento, and he announced that they're adding the COVID-19 vaccines to California's list of required inoculations for attending K-12 schools. Now, what makes this interesting is that we all know, the CDC knows, Rochelle Walensky knows, Jack Stein knows, you know, that the vaccines don't stop the transmission of the disease. And based on the numbers that we went over about 7.5 minutes ago, we know that kids really don't die from COVID-19. And if we do an even deeper dive into all this, get this, this is where it gets really crazy. The majority of the time when kids die from COVID-19, they die because they're what? Anybody know? It's really simple. It's on the CDC's website. They're immobile. They have feeding tubes. They've got diabetes. They've got breathing problems. Severely disabled children. So why not? Why is that not talked about? You got to ask yourself this question, because that's a huge piece of the data as to why children transpire from COVID-19. They got something else. They're gravely ill. Maybe they've got leukemia, or they're on chemotherapy, something to that effect. Because wouldn't we want to talk about that instead of talking about one size fits all for everybody? Again, pardon the expression, but that's what we're talking about when we're talking about masking kids, right? And forcing kids to get vaccinated. I'm all for kids getting vaccinated against hepatitis C. I'm all for it. I'm all for kids getting vaccinated against polio. I'm all for it, right? You ever see somebody with hepatitis C? It's a virus that doesn't go away. You ever see somebody with polio? Pretty not, well, I don't think anybody's seen that in a while. But you ever go back and watch old archival footage of people in iron lungs? It's really sad. So I say, yeah, no, you vaccinate kids against polio. That's great. You want to mandate it from the state level? I'm totally fine with that. I don't see how mandating the COVID-19 vaccine for children is in any way, shape, or form similar to polio or hepatitis C or measles, mumps, rubella. I just don't see it, right? Or meningitis or whatever it is. I just don't. It's not a one-to-one comparison. And anybody who says otherwise, I think that they're just... I don't think they're basing their opinion in any kind of sound medical science, right? So, you know, we have Dr. Z on the show, and Dr. Z is very pro-vaccine because he's a physician, right? But when I'm very pro-vaccine as well. I always hate this. I get this more than you would imagine. I got the vaccine. I got the J&J vaccine. I was happy to get it, right? Dr. Z and I had this conversation. I said, Dr. Z, I don't want to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm not interested in it. I don't want to get it. And then he shows me a set of data that suggests that if you're a former smoker, as I was, I smoked cigarettes for 10 years of my life, that you were at higher risk of developing severe complications from COVID-19. Now, you add on to the fact that I was also smoking heroin off of tinfoil, makes it a little bit more complicated as well. My lungs aren't exactly in the greatest shape, right? So after looking at this data and having all the education, again, what Dr. Z and I like to say, education, 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 I came to the conclusion that that was the best thing for me. If we apply that same standard that I applied to myself to kids writ large, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I don't know why there is a push on this other than the leadership doesn't know what else to do. I'm not going to get conspiratorial with this. I hate when people do that, when they say, well, it's big pharma attempting to inoculate kids so that they get the demon squids in their bloodstream and then they become infertile. I don't have that position whatsoever. I do think this. If I'm Moderna, if I'm Pfizer, BioNTech, or I'm Janssen and Janssen, all the companies that own the rights to these vaccines, and I know that John and Jane Q taxpayer, Uncle Sam, is footing the bill for all these vaccines, and I'm making hundreds of millions of dollars every hour from people getting vaccinated. And now all of a sudden a third of the country is eligible for the vaccine. Man, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And if we couch it as if we are doing it under the guise of public safety, even better, right? And I'll even give you this. There are for sure kids out there that should be vaccinated against COVID-19, right? Kids with, diabetes. There's a ton of research on kids with diabetes. It seems like a really great idea for kids with diabetes to get COVID-19 as long as you consult your physician, blah, 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 blah. A ton of data out there to suggest that kids with, specific genetic disorders. I should have pulled it up before the show, but specific genetic disorders, they should go out and get vaccinated against for COVID-19. But for like a perfectly healthy kid, I just don't see it. And I pore over stuff. I pore over it. And I'm looking at it. I'm trying, okay, well, there's this study from Milan and there's this study from Brazil. And maybe I'm missing something. And maybe I'm missing some piece of the equation. I can't find it anywhere. And if it doesn't stop transmission, and the majority of the time when kids get COVID-19, they recover pretty quickly, it puts me in a weird position. Right? Because I'm trying to find the truth of the matter. I'm trying to figure out what the best course of action is to take. This is kind of the way that I am. I want to figure something out. If I see a puzzle, I want to tease it apart. I like understanding motivations. And the only motivation that I can see here is that there are pharmaceutical companies out there who I appreciate the fact that they were able to roll out the vaccine. I think that they look at kids and they see dollar signs. I think that they look at kids and they see big old bags of money. You remember those cartoons, Acme cartoons from back in the day, Warner Brothers cartoons back in the day, when the character was stuck on a desert island and they were really hungry and they would look over at their friend and their friend would turn into a beautiful roast turkey. I think right now, Big Pharma, looking over at all the little kids on a playground, and they're not seeing little kids, they're seeing little money bags rolling around. They're seeing $20, $30, $40, $50 per shot. Subsidized by the government, subsidized by John and Jane Q taxpayer. Yeah, I'll give you another example. Los Angeles Times came out with an article, and this is true across the nation. At most hospitals, many children are coming in with COVID, not for COVID. And they break it down nationwide that statistically, your child is much more likely to get COVID in a hospital or get a positive test in a hospital for something, like they go in with a broken arm, and then they got a positive test, right? So with all this stuff in mind, we can keep banging our heads against the wall, but I think we just have to start saying no when it comes to getting your, like, forcing your kid to get vaccinated. Like, if I was in the LA Unified School District or any California school district, which I'm glad I'm not, and they said, well, you have to get your kids vaccinated, I would say, okay, I'm sending my kid to private school. And, you know, I'm not the only person to notice this, by the way. There's other people noticing this as well. Everybody's talking about Barry Weiss going on Bill Maher over the weekend and the effect that the quote-unquote pandemic has had on children. Here's what that sounded like from Barry Weiss, former columnist at the New York Times, talking to Bill Maher.
And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. And it's ridiculous at this point. I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry. If you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything.
Based.
You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron.
Based.
And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime.
Based. So based. So very based indeed. Wow. Yes. Think about what we've done to kids, man. She goes on to talk about the suicides, opiate. Oh, you know what? We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, but this is a statistic came out about 2 weeks ago, Newsweek. More people in the age range of 18 to 45 have died from opiate overdoses, drug overdoses, than have died from COVID-19 by a margin of like 3 to 1. And yet we're all running around crying about how kids have to wear masks. And all I'm asking people is to just kind of join me. And again, you can think that Big Pharma is totally fine. I think that Big Pharma is totally fine. You can think whatever you want. You can think, hey, Jack Stein, I'm not a Republican. I don't really care about any of that stuff. I'm just saying, let's all just get on the same page when it comes to understanding the raw data when it comes to COVID-19 and kids. That's all. That's it. Speaking of that's it, by the way, Chris Sullivan's going to be coming on in a couple of few. We'll be right back with the traffic god right after this. Cairo Knights joining us as the clouds part above Cairo Radio Studio as small children begin to weep with joy as little old ladies and little old men inside of nursing homes look out their windows. A single ray of light beams down from the heavens, parting through thick fog that is otherworldly at this point. Chris Sullivan descends in pristine white robes, dripping with testosterone. His wings fully
pointed toward the sky, apparently.
Wings. His wings fully extend as he enters Cairo Radio Studios.
Jeff, you know what? I'm kind of like Jesus, just not in a sacrilegious way. I believe, as Homer Simpson once famously said.
Yes. Chris Sullivan, traffic god, joins us here on Cairo Nights. Chris, we have an issue, which is that Boeing is deciding to sink more money into electric air taxis. I think that this is an awful idea. I think this is a terrible idea. The idea that we're going to have some kind of pristine airway like in Back to the Future 2, where people are flying in their lane. You remember Back to the Future 2? Remember that?
I think I've only seen that once, but yeah, I was kind of like, yeah, that's not really reality.
I don't see it happening. So why is Boeing dumping so much money into electric air taxis when it's much more feasible that something like Elon Musk's Boring Company is probably going to be the way of the future instead of people flying around and landing on top of the Space Needle or whatever?
Well, I've done a couple of different stories on what we call, you know, flying taxis, flying cars, whatever. And, you know, I kind of envision a world more like Blade Runner or a world more like The Fifth Element.
Yes.
Kind of like that. But again, that the difference here being most of the technology or most of what people are thinking about is an autonomous vehicle of some sort.
Oh,
them all being autonomous, because we all know we can't drive for you know what with a car on the ground with four tires. You're trying to tell me that we're going to put somebody who has no pilot training flying a car? No, no. Most of this is going to be the autonomous situation. And in fact, Boeing is one of several, huge companies that are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into this. I mean, there are more than 100 companies around the world that are working on this technology. In fact, I highlighted a small company from Tacoma called Ziva Aero that is building like a personal autonomous vehicle that they believe would be you could buy yourself and it would be autonomous. You'd punch in when you leave the house and go, okay, I'm leaving Jack Stein's house here. My port is, there's one waiting two blocks away, and I'll fly it to the forum or whatever they call it these days, and it'll just set me down there. What Boeing is looking at is more of the, and which is more of the industry standard, which is kind of a taxi where you have more than just one person being able to use this.
Right.
The one that they're using is from Wisk Aero, which is a California-based company. It's, again, a vertical takeoff and landing electric. That's where everything, you know, so you don't need a runway. You take off like with the drone. Imagine a large drone with a passenger compartment that looks kind of like a Cessna, but instead of having a propeller, it's got a whole bunch of the propellers underneath it and the side, kind of like a large drone. So it powers up, goes straight up, and then eventually those propellers turn, so you then have horizontal forward motion. So it's a possibility. I think there are too many companies investing millions and millions of dollars. As you said, Boeing just invested $450 million in this company today, and it's a company that it already has a majority ownership stake in anyway. I think this might happen at some point because there are just too many smart people spending money on this, and there's a lot of development going on, you know, not only in our region, looking at this as a possibility. Will it happen? I kind of think it might at some point. I'm just not sure how far down the road we are.
Chris, hold on. You've just caused a synapse to fire off in my brain. We're going to get conspiratorial. We're going to go down the rabbit hole, okay? Just think about it like this. If you already own a majority stake in the company, why would you then dump more money into the company? Unless, Chris Sullivan, you are looking for a tax haven that is protected by patent-pending ideas. You see what I'm saying, Chris Sullivan? You start cranking out patents. You start cranking. Well, we're developing this, and we're developing this. And this is why this company is running at a loss. And this is why we have to keep funneling so much money into it, because we're the majority shareholder, so on and so forth. You picking up what I'm putting down, Chris Sullivan? The earth is actually flat.
So in other words, Boeing is starting to act like the U.S. government?
Yeah.
Continually throwing millions and millions of dollars after at bad ideas that don't work and nobody wants?
Yes. Yes.
As a way to cover up from those losses?
Yes.
We just keep... Okay.
I worked for a guy. I legitimately worked for a guy who he ran... I have to be very delicate about this, but he ran his business at a loss intentionally so that he could keep funneling money from the business that did make money into the other business, so that it was a tax shelter for it was a tax haven for him. He just had both of the businesses under the umbrella of the same corporation, even though they were separate businesses. I'm telling you, Chris Sullivan, I'm telling you, the rabbit hole goes deep.
Yeah, the text line, I'm sure we'll probably pick up on that. You'll be hearing that for weeks.
Speaking of, by the way, the text line, I just want to get to this really, really quick, Chris. So we're talking about air taxis, but at the same time, there's a set of statistics that came out last week, but I still think it's fascinating. It says that it's unraveling the statistics. Are men better drivers than women? Here's how the data pans out. Women, on average, are going to fail the driver's test more than men. However, after they get their driver's license, women are objectively safer drivers over the duration of their life than a man is. You are statistically less likely to get into a car accident if you're a woman. You are statistically less likely to die in a car accident if you are a passenger in a car with a woman. So I say to you, Chris Sullivan, what say you to this?
Is it possible that data is skewed because so many young men died while driving a car?
Yes.
So that therefore they couldn't live to a ripe old age to do it? Now, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, we're we're juveniles behind anything that goes fast. We always are. It's taken me to my ripe old age of 50 plus now before I have just given up on caring about people who cut me off or do this or do that, and I don't get fired up or PO'd anymore. However, I can tell you my wife, on the other hand, does still get a little fired up from time to time behind the wheel, but I think that's just, I mean, anybody. But I don't deny it. I mean, I would kind of assume that women might be safer overall. That doesn't answer the question of better, which I know will get me in a lot of trouble both here on the radio and at home. But yeah, I mean, I that seems to make sense to me. Just from what I mean, most women that I know drive well. They drive safely. They don't take as many risks as I know I have. So I would say, as long as it's a safe issue and we don't get into better or worse.
Yes.
Because that's a loaded question that okay. You're never going to, you know, that's an individual issue more than a whole gender specific. But I buy it. I buy that, certainly.
I think the other thing they didn't factor into this study is the fact that women often have children, thus making them more prone to not go 95 miles per hour with a bottle of Schmaltz liquor. What is it?
What's Schlitz?
Thank you.
Schlitz malt liquor. You combine malt liquor and Schlitz into Schmitz. That might even be a swear word in some countries, so we should probably delete that. That's probably right too. But I know there are a lot of men that drive. I mean, they drive safely with their kids too. A lot of men drive. I know I drive. My used to drive Tommy and his teammates all over the place to soccer and baseball and basketball and football. So I think, you could make that point, but I think men are just as safe with the kids are in the car. At least I would hope they were.
Chris Sullivan, thanks so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. And hopefully you're not driving around 90 miles per hour with a bottle of Schlitz in your hand.
I'm not in Montana today, but soon.
All right. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, I am of two minds about A.G. Ferguson filing that lawsuit against Google for secretly tracking consumers' locations. Coming up right after this. Nights. Shane, there is a story that applies to you specifically, and it has to do with the fact. Do you want to tell everybody what happened to your phone, Shane? You want to tell everybody what happened to your telephone?
I decided to take a day on my day off from the mountain to go snowboarding, and I didn't zip up one of my pockets, and I lost my phone snowboarding today, so it's been a rough day for me. Hasn't been, It's very hard to work in news when you can't get the news sent to you and let you know what's going on, or you know, talk to the guy you're supposed to produce the news for. So
yeah, well, you know, Shane, you do a great job, buddy. And thankfully, though, there's something in the news that will I think will brighten your spirits, and I happen to be of a couple of minds about it. Two minds, Shane.
Two minds.
This is the end.
So today, AG Bob Ferguson filed the lawsuit against Google for secretly tracking consumers' location. Now, Shane, you've heard me rant and rave against Bob Ferguson. I don't necessarily like the guy. I don't necessarily like some of the things that he has done. However, I find this to be very based indeed, because Google collects data on the location of its users even after consumers turn it off. And they also, when you turn off your location history, there is actually no practical way to turn off your location history in Google. Have you noticed this, Shane? That even if you turn it off, it will send you located ads, targeted ads, or located news stories. So I can be in the fine state of California and still be getting news stories out of Washington on Google because my phone thinks that I'm still there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So, and this is a violation of your privacy because we don't even know how much data Google is scraping off of us on a regular basis. I even want to blow your mind with this, Shane. It's entirely possible that Google is actually taking biometric data on you and I based on our location data, based on where it thinks we are in proximity to our bathroom. Can you believe that, Shane? That they have narrowed down the human experience to such precise mathematical equations that they can determine the cycle of your bowels. They can determine the cycle of your sleep. They can determine the cycle of your waking hours. This is astounding. And I actually think that this is base for Bob Ferguson to come out and say, wait a minute, you can't clandestinely scrape this data from people without their consent. Now, the thing is that there are certain states, like the state of California, for example, Shane, you can send a do not track message to individual websites, but you can't do it to Google. Google has become, in many ways, this monolithic creature, this beast, that I think needs to be put in check by the state over private business. And can you guess why, Shane? Because I don't think a lot of people think about it this way.
I could only imagine, Jack. What could it be?
Don't sound so enthusiastic, Shane.
Hold on, you want me to try that again? Hold on, Jack, ask me that question again.
Why do you think that is, Shane? Why do you think that is?
You know, Jack, I have no idea. Could you please explain me? Could you explain it to me?
I can, Shane. I can. Thank you for redoing that. There is a business incentive to being on Google's good side. Search engine, algorithm, whatever it is, your SEO, search engine optimization. No private business wants to mess with Google because they can shadow ban you, they can block you, they can do whatever they want to do, right? But they can't block the state, and they can't prevent Bob Ferguson from obtaining this data. Which is why I think that it's necessary for this to happen. Now, do I like government? No, I think government bad. I say it every night on my radio show. And at the same time, this is why government is here, to protect consumers against companies that potentially violate their rights. And that's it, Shane. And keep in mind, I'm a filthy capitalist. I think if you want to sell your kidneys for lottery tickets, you should be able to do that. But if you do not consent to an action from a private company and they violate that consent, I say go after him, Bobby. I say you got him, Bobby Ferg. What say you, Shane Peterson?
Well, Jack, the whole entire time you've been talking, I've still been mulling over the idea, you talking about them tracking it down to even us, you know, using the restroom.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about how there's these targeted ads. They know what you look up. And obviously, they're obviously tracking what time you use the John. But if they can look at your location, Jack, and they obviously know you might be consuming different types of cuisine, do you think that there's any sort of metric of, you know, maybe that your bowel movements might be different? Like, as in, you know, maybe I go get me a big burrito, and they're like, okay, we have to hit this guy with some ads probably about 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 12 a.m., and then about 3. So, you know, do you think that there's any sort of metric where, you know, if they're really targeting us that close where it's going, you know, to the restrooms,
absolutely.
Do you think that they're like, okay, Jack's having Indian food tonight. We got to pump up some of the ads early in the morning and even one or two in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think people would be shocked if they knew how much information Google is carrying about them as an individual, which is why, Shane, you always clear history, always clear your cache. Always, 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 when you are logging out of a computer, clear browsing history, clear your cache, start from the fresh slate every single time you use a computer is the best piece of advice that I could ever give anybody. And do not use autofill passwords. Do not use autofill email. None of that. You go in fresh every single time. Write down your password with a pen and paper like how we used to do. Speaking of how we used to do, Mr. Billy Sunshine coming on, and we're going to be talking about Dory Monson's show, about how far UW's word police policies might go. Stick around. We'll be right back right after this.